Okay, good afternoon, everyone. Today is Wednesday, June 10th, and we are here for our UOS Lunch and Learn through Zoom. And I'm happy to thank Deborah and Michael Kupferman for sponsoring this class in honor of their 25th wedding anniversary. I wish them a mazel tov. And many, many more happy years together. Thanks to the Kuffermans for sponsoring. Okay. Zach, just a thumbs up if you could hear me. Okay, fantastic. So today, this week, Parshat Bahalotcha, the topic of the class is help. Parshat Bahalotcha, where we encounter the Jewish people complaining to Moshe about various things. And Moshe's response to those complaints. So we're just going to look quickly at the psukim, at the verses, and then we'll get into some interesting questions raised by these psukim. So here we go. Vayhi am kemit onanim, rab aznei Hashem, vayishma Hashem, vayicharapo. The people took to complaining bitterly before God. God heard and was incensed. Vativar bam esh Hashem batochal b'tzei hamachane. The fire of the Lord broke out against them, ravaging the outskirts of the camp. Then the people complained to Moshe that they need help because now there's this fire burning in the camp. Moshe prays. And hold on 1 second. I'm getting a request to let someone in. I don't know what that means. I apologize for this one last time. Okay. So what I want to look at is after the B'nai Yisrael complain, they complain more than once, and we'll get back to that a little bit later. Moshe turns to Hashem, and he says as follows: He turns to God, and he says in verse 14. Lo uchal anochi levadi laseit et kol ha'am hazeh ki chavei mimeni. I alone, right, verse 14, I cannot carry all this people by myself, for it is too much for me. Okay? So it seems that after this series of complaints, first there's sort of a generic complaint in verse 1, and then there is a specific complaint in verse 5, Zacharnu et hadaga asher nochal b'Mitzrayim. We remember the fish that we used to eat free in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. So there's a general complaint in verse 1, a specific complaint in verse 4, and they say they were sick and tired of the mun that you're giving us. We want something else. Moshe hears it. And here's their complaint. And then he says to God in verse 14, I can't do this on my own. So the question is, what do we make of this reaction of Moshe, right? What are the Jewish people complaining about? What do they want? Anybody care to unmute themselves and answer the question or use the raise hand function? What does B'nai Yisrael, what are they complaining about? What's that, Linda?
They wanted a buffet. They wanted a buffet.
They want more food. They want different food. Correct. Yeah. Right. And you have to remember they're in the wilderness, and they want more food. So then, Linda, let me ask you this. Does Moshe's response make sense?
Well, it kind of does because how could he fix their problem? It would have to be, you know, Hashem that would fix the problem. So he's going like, well, why have you dumped all these people's problems on me?
Ah, that's interesting.
Because okay. I can't really do anything Moshe, about it.
Interesting. So you're saying that Moshe is asking for God to help him. Okay, yes. Interesting. Yes. Zach?
He's not saying that the people were wrong in wanting a buffet rather than just one thing.
Right.
But he's saying he can't okay. do anything about it.
Okay, good. Zach?
I would like to bring example from book first book Rashi. We all know how Egyptian government solved the problem of lack of food, but we talk about established state with established government and with agricultural way to conduct economy. Over here, we obviously see that a Jewish people in transition, and obviously Moshe Rabbeinu could not substitute what he learned living many years in Egypt. For him was only way to approach God to help in transitional period to satisfy people.
Okay, yeah, that could be. Of course he's turning for help, but if we look at the rest of the verses, which I just added, right, we look at verse 16, and I ask you this question, Linda. Look at verse 16. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, asva li shivim ish mizikne Yisrael, asher yardata kihem zikne ha'am, v'shotra, v'lakafta otam el ohal moed v'tyatzvu sham imach. In response to Moshe's complaint, God says, okay, go gather 70 elders. So now the question I ask to you, Linda, is, again, what's Moshe asking for in verse 13 now based on God's response?
He's just basically asking for help.
From who?
Probably from God.
Well, again, God answers him in verse 16 with an offer of what?
Government.
Yeah.
What does he offer him, Linda? It's right there in verse 16. You see it?
Yeah, 70 of the elders, and they will help you somehow.
Ah, ever. That's my question. Excellent. So it does not, at least in God's mind, Moshe is not asking for God's help.
Oh.
Moshe is asking for more people to help lead.
Okay.
And so then my question is, what good is that going to do? They want food. They're in the middle of the desert. There is no food. How are these extra people possibly going to help?
Well, it goes back to more brains think of more possibilities.
but they're in the wilderness. There are millions of people according to Moshe's calculation. He says there are 600,000 men. That's just the men. So there are millions of people, and there's no food. And Moshe says, I need help. And God says, okay, here are 70 more people who can help you. It seems that is not helpful because no matter how many more people there are, there's not going to be enough food.
Well, there would be more people to think about how to get more food. Maybe some of them are hunters. I don't know. But
okay.
Also, right, there's more people to bear the brunt of the people's frustration. So
now we're getting some.
Moses.
Okay, that's good. Now we're getting some. Okay, let's take Colin's comments. Okay. Go ahead, Colin.
I thought the problem was Moshe doesn't want to deal with the people of Israel because they're acting like children and he just can't take care of them anymore. Why don't you just kill him? And I can't handle it.
Well, he doesn't say he doesn't want to do it because in verse 14 here it says, "Lo chal anochi levadi las'et et kol ha'am." I can't do it alone. Right? He's not quitting. We know that Moshe sometimes has tendered his resignation, which God never accepted. But here, He doesn't do that. He just says, I cannot do it alone. And then God says, okay, I'll give you some more people. So I want to, before we answer that question, I want to just see a few other things. First of all, it sounds like up here in verse 1, according to Rashi, that something specific happens that led to Moshe's concern. Because we see that there are two reactions, two things that happen. The people complain in verse 1, and then God sends a fire. And the question is, who did that fire kill? Right? Who did that fire destroy? So if you look in Rashi, which is source number 4, Rashi has two opinions. That the fire came in the extremity of the camp. Why does it say the extreme part of the camp? Because it's trying to tell us, it's a play on words, b'muktzin shebahem l'shiflut, elu erevrab. That the person who were killed were a mixed multitude. Let's say you know, some Egyptians who came out, people who were not committed to the cause, they were the troublemakers, and they were the ones who were killed when this fire came out. But Rashi quotes a midrash which shares a different opinion, which is as follows. Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya Omer, right, here's this the midrash here. Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya says, and who are we talking about? I'll just highlight it so we all could see it. And who are we talking about here? Bakitzinim Shebahem, also a play on word of Biktsei Hamachane, Tzinim, Biktsei, the leaders, a katzin in modern Hebrew was an officer. Right, Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya says it means that the fire consumed the most distinguished and prominent ones among them. So that's really very interesting if that's the case, because then what is Moshe saying here in verse number 13 and 14? Moshe saying, okay, we have a group of people who are complaining, but you just killed all of my helpers. You just killed all of the distinguished and prominent people. So now I am all alone. And now what am I supposed to do, right? It's almost as Moshe is saying, God, you've made it worse, right? Your plan to bringing a fire, sending a fire through the camp, not only has it not quelled the rebellion, because we see in verse 4, it just gets worse, but now I have no one to help me manage it because you just killed everyone. And so then God seems to say, oh yeah, that's a good point, Moshe. Go find 70 more leaders. So that could be one thing that Moshe is complaining about. Again, if that's what Moshe is complaining about, it does not help answer our other question, which is if what B'nai Israel wants is food, what good is 70 more leaders going to do? 70 more leaders who can't deliver doesn't make anything better. Although Linda is onto something which we'll get to soon. Okay. And in fact, the Chizkuni, commenting on the same verse that we just saw, that Moshe says, I can't do it alone, Moshe had said, all this after the fire of God had burned against all the officers in the camp. So the Chizkuni you see here is building off of Rashi, seeing that as long as these had still been alive, they had shared the burden of leading the people with him. Now that gets very close to what Linda was saying, that it wasn't just about providing food. It was about some sort of shared leadership. And we have to understand what that shared leadership can bring. So that's sort of the first point I wanted to mention, is that Moshe seems to be complaining that he had leaders in place and that God killed him in this in sending the fire. And now Moshe is saying, now look what you've done. I have no one to help me lead. I need more help. What's also interesting is, let's stick on this for a second now. And let's go to the Ramban. The Ramban is where I want to spend some more time, and then we'll come back to some of these other questions if we can. The Ramban is really the one who explicitly asked the question that we started with, which is, what good would more leaders do at a time like this, if what they want is food, what good is more help? And that's, in fact, as we saw, the way God understood it, because God says, okay, I hear you, Moshe, go get 70 more elders. So the Ramban starts with, he asks the question. I have it here in Hebrew, the English is below, I'll try to scroll back and forth. V'tam lo uchal anochi levadi. I am not able to bear all the people for myself. What's the meaning of it? What's the purpose of this word, of this phrase, if after all, they could not help the food? Lo shiya'azru hazakinim latet lahem basar. So the Ramban first puts something to bed. He says, the meaning thereof is not that the elders should help him give them food or meat, right? Kimei ayin lahem. Where should they get it from? Right? Despite Linda's very creative suggestion that maybe some of them were hunters, the Ramban's not buying it. There's just no food. It's either they subsist on what God gives them or they're going to die. So it can't be that Moshe wants, we know that Moshe wants more people because that's what God gives him. Or that's at least what God understood his complaint. So what is it? So it's not about food. So what could it be? The ode. Now the Ramban raises another question. Afilu bihiyot lahem parnasim rabim lo yitlonenu rak b'Moshe. And even if there were more leaders, they would still only complain to Moshe, right? Lo yitlonenu rak al Moshe Rabbeinu. They would only complain to Moshe. And the Ramban explains why it is that they would only complain to Moshe. Shehotziyam mi Mitzrayim. Because Moshe is the one who took them out of Egypt. What are they complaining about? Way back when we were in Egypt, we had fish and we had vegetables. And now you, Moshe, right? Let's look back at the Pesukim. Vayitzakam il Moshe. I'm sorry. Here in verse 4 and 5, Zacharot Hadagah, we remember everything that we had in Egypt, and you took us out of Egypt. And so the Ramban says, well, my first question is, these people cannot possibly provide more food. And second of all, even if there were more leaders, they were going to complain to Moshe because Moshe was the one who took them out of Egypt. Rak al Moshe Rabbeinu Shotam Mitzrayim. Kiminhag lemor, lam hen litanami Mitzrayim. V'hu she'etem lahem b'tfilato, kol mishalotam. Right? Which is consistent with the way they have been complaining, as they used to say to him, and wherefore have you made us come out from Egypt? Asking him that he should give them, through his prayers, all they asked for, and grant their desires. So the Ramban asks two questions. Well, it's really one question with two parts. What good were these extra people going to do? Part one of that question, they can't provide more food. Part two of that question is, even if there were more people, they were certainly only going to complain to Moshe because he's the one who took them out of Egypt. Okay, that's the Ramban's question on what is going on here. Then the Ramban offers two different answers. He says this first in blue, aval. So what's on Moshe's mind? Anyone want to venture what's on Moshe's mind here? What he think he's going to accomplish by having additional leaders? Okay, go ahead, Zach.
It's very obvious. Because society cannot produce for itself, God is going to produce those food. Food came in the form of quails and man. You have a huge number of people. Like Pirkei Avot says, pray for a government. If it's not government, we would all become the wild beast. This is why you need established government to distribute food between people. And it's interesting because even man, Torah suggested, one measure, verse 2 on Shabbat, two measures. Mm-hmm. How you control it? You do need leadership to do it. This why.
Okay. Excellent.
Okay.
Okay. So that's a very interesting answer. So Zach is suggesting that these 70 people were essentially crowd control, right? That they were going to create some sort of system, like a Disneyland sort of a line system, where people would be able to get their food in an orderly fashion, maybe with social distancing, right, in an orderly fashion. That's really an interesting answer. I would just wonder about a few things. First of all, there are millions and millions of people. Is 70 people enough? And then I would ask this question, because God tells him to go get Ziknei Yisrael. Asfal Yishuim Ish Mizikne Yisrael. These are the elders, presumably the wise people. I'm not sure if they're going to be physically involved in crowd control. You could argue they're the ones who are going to create the system and someone else is going to carry it out. It could be. But even with the mun, we don't have any indication in the text that that there was such a system, although that doesn't mean there wasn't such a system. And we do have a few times one time where the people took double, even on a regular day, or left it over, right, and it rotted. So the people, whatever system it was, were not listening. But your suggestion is a fascinating one, that this was in order to enable the lawful distribution and the let's say, calm distribution of the food. Okay, excellent. Great, great answer. Any other suggestions of what these 70, these additional people that Moshe is asking for can accomplish? Again, assuming that they cannot provide them more food. Go ahead, Nitza.
Feel me?
Yeah.
Okay. It says here that he thought about Hashav Moshe.
Don't read ahead. Don't read ahead. No. Don't read ahead. That's cheating.
Oh, but the answer is here, the answer.
I'm asking for your answer in your mind, not the Ramban's answer. I'm going to share the Ramban's answer. you like the Ramban's answer, Nitza?
I do.
Okay,
so
let's get to it.
So they start with those people and vent out on them. And not
all right,
on
let's get to the Ramban's answer. He has a couple of answers. Okay, excellent. Aval, in the blue. Aval Chashav Moshe. Kibiyot lehem manhigim rabim yishkechu chamatam v'yidabru al libam be'et tulunatam. This is a fascinating approach of the Ramban. Answer number one that the people are going to do is as follows. But Moshe thought that if they would have many leaders, they would appease their wrath by speaking to their hearts when they would start complaining. So according to the Ramban, these people were not there to provide more food, and they weren't even there for the very practical reason that Zach suggested, to create some sort of system for them to get the food in an orderly fashion. They were social workers, right? Moshe realized that the people are going to be upset from time to time. This is a very strange and stressful existence that Bnei Yisrael are living in the Midbar. So in order to deal with it, they just need more addresses. They need more people that they can go to complain and to express their concerns and their fears and their anxieties and their anguish. And these zikenim, now we understand why they have to be zikenim. They have to be people with experience. They have to be people with understanding. They have to be wise people who would be able to just talk to them, you know, calm their fears. This was a societal need. And that's why the Rambam uses this language with Vayidabru al-Libam. He's going to speak to their hearts. This is actually such an interesting insight that the Rambam is making. Sometimes a leader actually cannot provide any real relief to the problem. The problem is the Jewish people don't like this food. Now we're just going to take them at face value. Some of the commentaries say Bnei Yisrael were being dishonest, and it wasn't really about the food; they just were rebelling in general. But let's just take it at face value that it was the food. They wanted real food, and what they had was the man, which was not real; it was different. Let's take them at face value. There's nothing that Moshe or anyone else besides God. There's nothing that Moshe or these people could do to solve that problem. Sometimes a leader cannot fix the actual problem. But what the leader can do is speak to the people and give them a change of perspective, or give them words of encouragement, convince them that they're able to do it, convince them to look long-term, not to only be concerned with the issue right in front of them, that there's a bigger picture, or any other type of comfort that a leader can give besides the actual thing that they want. So I found this to be interesting, because this happens a lot in leadership. This happens a lot to me, right? Someone's very sick. There's not much that I could actually do to heal the person. And sometimes there's not much that the doctor can do to heal the person. So then what's our job? This happens not only to rabbis, I'm sure this happens to you as well. You all have friends who have been sick or in a difficult financial situation or a difficult family situation. There's not really anything you could do to fix the actual problem. But there are comforting words that can be provided, helpful words, words of encouragement, perhaps suggesting that they're stronger, they'll be able to handle it. Not downplaying the problem, because that doesn't help. You notice Moshe doesn't downplay the problem. He doesn't say, no, just get over it. You bunch of freeloaders, you should be happy at anything at all. Right? He doesn't do that, according to the Ramban. He's asking for people who could speak to their heart and really give them words of comfort. That's a beautiful insight into leadership that we get from this line of the Ramban. That's point number one. Ramban agrees. Moshe can't give them food. More leaders can't give them food. And they're only going to complain to Moshe about this, about leaving Egypt. So let's have more people who know how to speak to people. That's answer number one. And then the Ramban offers a second answer, the Efshar. And when we read the second answer, I'd like you to think about it compared to the first answer, and I'd like you to share with me your thoughts of how these two answers can live together. The Efshar. Says the Ramban. Another possibility. Ki kasher hit nav'u hazikenim shena'atzel aleihem in haruach. Or it is possible, says the Ramban. I hope you can see where the arrow is. That when the elders prophesied and the spirit which was upon Moshe was put upon them, the yedu ha'am ki ne'emanim heim l'nevi'im. The people would know that the elders are established prophets. Lo yitasru kulam el Moshe, vayishalu ta'avatam gam mehem. And would not all gather against Moshe, but would ask for their desires from them as well by means of their prayers. So there is something similar between answer one and answer two, but there's also something different. And that's my question. I'd like you to look at this Ramban carefully. What's similar between answer one and answer two, and what's different? The answer one starts here, but Moses, and answer two starts here, or it is possible. And I want to suggest the similarities and the differences between the two answers. Go ahead. Let me just wait, Zach. I just got you 1 second. Let me see if anyone else first, because you had a chance already. That's what I learned when I went to graduate school. You have to give everyone in the class a chance. Nita had a chance too. Linda had a chance too. Zach had a chance. Linda, you raising your head or just holding up your chin?
Nothing.
Okay. All right, Zach, go ahead.
This is a very interesting approach regarding to common goal. Why it's all was happened. And when Rambam suggested, as you pointed out, social workers, the people who would able to communicate with the crowds, and make them easy to understand their situation. What is a common goal between them? They all focus on Moshe Rabbeinu. Their words and a spiritual richness came from Moshe Rabbeinu, who take it from Hashem. In other words, on the one side, it's a personal approach, but personal approach can be driven. Right. Can be driven to any direction, but the common goal. This is in a second way how it was addressed.
So, right. So I would put it this way: in the first answer, Moshe is looking for people of a certain type of temperament. They have certain feelings and certain abilities in terms of interacting with the people. In the second answer, he's looking for people with stature, right? Why do they have stature? Because they're prophets and they have the spirit of Moshe on them,
yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. So it, yes. on one level, that's very different. Those are not necessarily interchangeable realities that people have. Sometimes a person of stature can be particularly sensitive, but not necessarily, right? And it's not necessarily the case that the social worker has stature either. So on one level, you could argue that the Ramban is contradicting himself. First, he says what Moshe was looking for are people who have a certain skill to speak to people. But in the second answer, it's not necessarily skill. It's a certain stature. Now, of course, being a Navi requires great stature and requires a great character, but not necessarily the skill that Moshe was looking for in part one of his answer. So on one level, these are very different groups of people that Moshe is looking for, and that's why the Ramban says, or it's possible, right? Ve'efshar, I mean, and, or, it's different possibilities. Now, the answers are similar in the sense that they say, in both cases, people will branch out to other leaders instead of only focusing on Moshe. Right? The people would know and would not all gather against Moshe. So in both situations, whether you're looking for the social worker or the prophet of stature, both cases, Moshe is looking to unburden himself a little bit and have people go elsewhere. But the difference is between the individual people. Now, the individual skills or realities that people bring to this. What the Ramban does not answer in either of his answers is that the people may only want to go to Moshe because Moshe is the one who brought them out of Egypt. And they may not want to go to the Shivim Zekim. They may not want to go to these additional people. But nonetheless, the Ramban seems to think that if they have these particular skills or this particular stature, people will be willing to go to speak to others instead of just Moshe. So that's sort of the first major piece, which is what was Moshe looking for? Answer seems to be more people to help him. What was he hoping they would accomplish? We know what it's not. It's not more food because they can't do that. It could be a listening ear or a stature. In either case, the people would be willing to go listen to other people. And when it comes to the social worker, the social worker will be able to calm them just with their words. When it comes to the prophet, the people will be able to calm them because they'll believe that since they're prophets, their prayers are going to be helpful. That's what he says at the end. And we're not all gather against Moses, but would ask for their desires from them as well by means of their prayers. Okay? So that's the two approaches that the Ramban takes.
Can you show me back the Hebrew?
Yes, here it is.
At the end, lo itasfu kulam al Moshe, vishalu ta'avatam gamem. It doesn't say a word about prayers.
Right, so what I think the assumption is that the prophet's job is to bring the people's she'ilot, right? To bring the people's desires to God, because that's what prophets do.
Could it be because they couldn't all have access to Moshe? They feel by having these people, they'll have someone to talk to.
I mean, yes, that's what we said. That's what we said in each case. Yeah, correct. Either they're the social worker, or they're the prophet. And different ones bring different things to the table, and hopefully they'll feel comfortable going to other people other than Moshe because they have these skills. Right.
Also, in those years, many years ago, people rely on the elderly. They honor them or the ideas. It's not like today, oh, he's old, just listen to somebody else with new ideas. No.
It doesn't necessarily mean elderly. It could also mean the wise people. Zekenim sometimes means Zesh, Shakana, Chasma. But you are right. Okay, I just want to look at one other thing just real quick. Because at one point Moshe says something which is a little bit of a little bit questionable. Moshe. Hold on 1 second. If we look in, if we look in a pasuk in Tehillim, which I brought here, this pasuk says as follows: "Vayinasu el bilvavam lishal ochel lenafsham." To test God was in their mind when they demanded food for themselves. "Vayidabru beElohim amru hayuchal el la'aroch shulchan v'amidbar." They spoke to against God, saying, "Can God spread a feast in the wilderness?" So this is very interesting. According to this Tehillim, which is sort of reflecting back on our verse, they're really asking, "Can God feed us?" They're not just saying, "We don't like the man." They're really beginning to question whether God has the capacity, the power, to feed Bnei Yisrael. And I'm going to show you here something from Nechama Leibowitz. She says as follows: "Their question there implied open repudiation of divine omnipotence. In the light of this, we may now understand why Moshe, the faithful shepherd of his flock, changed the wording of their complaint when he referred to it in his dialogue with the Almighty." Right? This is interesting. What does Moshe say to God? Moshe says to God in verse 13, "Where am I to get the meat to give all the people when they whine before me and say, 'Give us meat to eat'?" But according to the verse in Tehillim, which is sort of serving as a commentary on our verses, they weren't complaining that Moshe can't provide for them. They were complaining that God can't provide for them. But Moshe doesn't want to, now we're assuming God knows that, but Moshe in his conversation doesn't want to explicitly call out Bnei Yisrael. He doesn't want to throw them under the bus. So what does he say? We observe that though Moshe, in light of this, we may now understand why their complaint, when he referred to it in his dialogue with the Almighty, the people had said, "Who can give us meat to eat?" Moses, however, worded the matter as follows: "When should I have the meat to give all these people, for they trouble me?" Right? He doesn't say that they don't think you can do it. He's saying they don't think I could do it. You may observe that though Moshe did not have the temerity to intercede on their behalf, he nevertheless tried his utmost to minimize their guilt. They had not rebelled against God, but had merely complained to him. But God, who sees into the hearts of men, was aware of the truth. He therefore answered Moshe, "Ki b'chitem ba'aznei Hashem le'mor miyach le'ne masar," for ye have wept into the ears of the Lord, saying, "Who can give us meat?" This whole thing starts with Nechama Leibowitz raising a question: why did Moshe not try to save Bnei Israel? What happens? The Jewish people complain. A fire goes and starts to kill people, and then the Jewish people complain. And only after the Jewish people complain does Moshe step in. And here Nechama Leibowitz is asking, well, wait a second. The question that immediately springs to mind is why Moshe did not intercede, just as he did when they rebelled in the golden calf on other occasions. Here Moses, on the contrary, adds his own indignation at the people's behavior to that of God's. Evidently, the nature of the grumblings here was different from that had happened previously. We have already referred to the fact that whereas their previous grumblings were motivated by valid causes, such as fear and want, this time there was no real excuse. Moreover, their demand for meat seemed to have concealed something much more serious. And again, she's suggesting to Nechama Leibowitz that it was the question of whether God could do it as well. So this is raised at all. This is raised by the issue of whether where the Tehillim seems to understand Jews were rebelling against God. And once the Jews rebelling against God, Moshe's like, I can't get in the middle of this. I'll try to downplay it by telling God that they're really complaining with me, but I'm not going to step in because they've maybe gone over the line in this case. Okay, go ahead, Doreen.
The people were very forgetful. They continually forgot the miracles that were already done. And I think this is why they were doubtful that God could feed them, or they were complaining about the loss of the food that they had in Egypt, and didn't trust that God could take care of them as he had before.
Yeah, well, that's true. And I think they are forgetful. I think that that's the way people are, right? Mm-hmm. People forget the good things that people do for them. Yeah. And people are a, what have you done for me lately?
Yes.
And lots of times people do a lot of good things and then one thing goes south. And instead of remembering all the good things that that person has done, all they remember is the one mistake. And they forget to thank the person for all the other things that they did.
Yes.
Yeah, that's very common.
There's an expression that our minds are like Velcro for the negative and Teflon for the positive.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. Yes. Okay. All right. So that is it. So our main question was, what good would the extra people have done for Moshe in this case? We saw the Ramban offering two interesting answers, which give us interesting insights into leadership, especially the first one, where even though you can't necessarily actually fix the problem, there's still much to be done in terms of trying to encourage people and give them the strength to carry on under difficult circumstances, and also a suggestion as to why Moshe did not step in here in order to fix the problem. Okay, everyone, I guess that's it for today. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. It's nice to see you all. Thank you so much for joining.
Thank you, Rabbi.
I hope to see you again soon.
Thank you, okay. Thank you very much. Bye now.
Thanks for coming on. Goodbye, everybody.